You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm frustrated at getting hit too much. The reality is that I've definitely been hit almost 400 times. You never want to get, hit, and sacked.
I definitely believe they've gotten calls. Anytime you're a player that tries to produce every week and has done it consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question.
Are you involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much.
Do you want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps you to be involved more. At the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. Those guys you got to trust.
The Russell Wilson saga continues this offseason as the quarterback has been public with at least some of his frustrations. Could the megastar be on the move? We'll dive right in on that on today's NFL Live alongside Marcus Spears. And our double dose of Dan, we've got both Dan Orlovsky and Dan Graziano here today. I'm Field Yates. And following a report from The Athletic that further examined Wilson's brewing situation in Seattle, our own Adam Schefter reported that while Wilson has not demanded a trade, he does have a short list of four teams that he will approve a trade to: the Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, and Saints. Wilson's does have a no-trade clause, which renders that list even more important should a deal eventually come to life. So there's a ton to unpack here, Dan Orlovsky. But let's start here. What do you make of Wilson's preferred four teams to be traded to if it ever were to go down?
Well, I think, first of all, this is about legacy. I think Russell Wilson is realizing he's been a great player for a long time, and he hasn't had an MVP vote up until this season. And so he's throwing it out there. The four teams also are super interesting because they're four major markets. We're talking Chicago, Las Vegas, Dallas, and New Orleans. Four major cities that have a lot to do with football, have a lot to do with things outside of football and entertainment. And I think Russell Wilson is looking at this big picture going, okay, what do I want not only my next 10 years to look like, but also after football and the brand building. And the last thing I'd say is this. You can say you don't plan or want to be traded and then lay out four teams. That means you want to be traded. And if I'm the Chicago Bears, this is the perfect time for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to save their jobs. I'm on the phone and I'm not getting off. Do not care how many first rounders it would take for me to get him from Seattle. I'm offering as much as it takes.
Listen, that's the thing for me. I don't want to think. I want Russ to come out and say exactly what he wants to happen. Leaving these breadcrumbs and, giving the roundabout speech. I like how Dan Patrick pressed him on, do you want to be involved? Yes. Don't say I think that would be nice. Say yes. If you want to be traded, say I want to be traded. If not, tell the team what you need and what you want to happen in order to make things better for you. This is one of those situations for me where we trying to speculate and read between the lines with what Russell Wilson is saying. It's simple. Russ, say what you want. Say what you want the Seattle Seahawks to do, whether that's trade you or what they need to do from an organizational standpoint or what they need to do from a player acquisition standpoint. But I don't want to get caught up in the, oh, well, maybe this, and these are the four teams just in case they decided to trade me. No, if you want to be traded, say you want to be traded. If not, say I'm getting ready for the season with the Seattle Seahawks. Look, you guys know I'm always for the player. I'm always in that corner, but I also want the player to say what the hell he want to happen instead of beating around the bush.
Man, this is the greatest offseason ever from the standpoint of somebody who covers the NFL.
No doubt.
It's just getting started. Think about the names we're talking about here. I mean, the idea that Russell Wilson could be traded. Look, this report from Adam Schefter, it cites the agent. Like, it's not a confidential source. It's Russell Wilson's agent saying he doesn't want to be traded, but if he ever were, these are the only four teams he'd accept a trade to. So why on earth is there a list if you don't want to be traded? Why would there be any list? And so the fact that it's in his mind points to a potential split. And I'm not saying it's this year. The sense I get just talking to people around this situation, there has been communication, even when it's been contentious, between Russell Wilson and Seahawks management on things like how the offense should operate, you know, better pass protection, et cetera, the stuff that's been reported. But Seattle has kept in contact with Russell Wilson and said, look, teams have been calling about trade offers. We're not entertaining any right now. That's where it stands. They don't want him to find out they're talking to teams behind his back, so they're keeping that line of communication open. My sense is he wants to see how the offseason and the season goes, and if it doesn't go the way he hopes, then we could be talking about a potential trade of Russell Wilson next year. But can we rule out the possibility it happens now? No. With everything that's going on in the league, all bets are off.
Orlovsky, what was that? I saw that reaction right there, sort of that smirk. What's going through your mind when you hear Dan Graziano talk?
Yeah, listen, that's like me going to my wife and going like, listen, I'm not looking for a divorce, but if I did get divorced from you, I'd try to go marry that girl. Like, this is very strategic by Russell Wilson. And I think we need to change the way that we look at things. Like, for a long time, it's been quarterbacks will never get moved or the salary cap hit, and we're seeing it's different. And I would say this, guys. I don't know exactly where Seattle stands on this. Because, like, Seattle, Pete, and John Schneider had a situation where they won a Super Bowl with a cheap quarterback and really talented football team. And then they paid the quarterback, and they haven't been able to replicate that success. And they might sit there and go, you know what? We tried. It didn't work. Throw a punch here and see if we can go back to our old ways.
Man, listen, I'm with y'all, and I understand all of that from Dan Graziano. I understand what Dio said. Russ, tell people what the hell you want to happen, man. And let's move on with it. You referenced the other quarterbacks that didn't move. They made their wants known. Carson Wentz said, I want out of here. Deshaun Watson is telling Houston, I got to get out of here. Matt Stafford, yeah. I want to be out of Detroit. I need an opportunity to win. I'm not playing with Russ with these breadcrumbs. Russ, tell people what the hell you want to happen with you and the Seattle Seahawks, and then we could talk about the story of if Russ is moving or not.
Well, whenever that time does come, if it does come, you know that Adam Schefter will be all over it. He'll also be joining us here later on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
No surprise here, another mock draft featuring Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars at number 1 overall. That's right, Mel Kiper Jr. is here with us now, and his NFL Mock Draft 2.0 hit ESPN.com this morning. And Mel, for the first time in the history of your mock drafts, we have a trade.
Yes.
But there has been a trade.
Trade. Atlanta, however they just traded.
Could look to trade down in the first round.
1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's a lot to give up. I really do.
It is not the trade of the century that they had been framing.
You can play this back right in my face if you want.
All right, Mel. So for the first time ever, and you've been doing this at ESPN for 38 years, you've allowed yourself to make trades. And so let's get right to it. You have a trade very early on in this mock draft. What's the projection you've got?
Atlanta moving up, and it's a method to the madness field. You want to get the Jets in a position to get Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida, by moving down to 4. This notion that, well, Wilson could still be there at 4, I don't think so. Somebody's going to jump up. There's a host of candidates that could move up to get Zach Wilson. So if Atlanta deems him the best quarterback after Trevor Lawrence, go get him. Atlanta plan on picking at 4 and have this opportunity in the years to come. So if you have Matt Ryan for one more year, you have the heir apparent in Zach Wilson by moving up from that 4 spot to the 2 spot. That would allow the Jets, obviously at 4, to get a heck of a weapon if, in fact, Sam Darnold is the quarterback moving forward and tight end Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Mel, it's going to cost a lot, but there's an old saying, don't wait on quarterbacks, and there is no price too steep to pay if he's really good. Don't go too far, Mel. We're going to bring you right back in a moment. We're going to get Dan Graziano in the mix here for a second, though. Dan, what are you hearing about the Falcons' draft plans? Could they be in the market to move up from pick 4 to get a quarterback?
Yeah, Field, I have heard them connected with Zach Wilson, and I also heard, similar to what Mel has heard, that they don't think he would be there at four. So if they really did want the guy, they may have to go up to number three or number two to get him. And I think when you look at the Falcons, yeah, they have Matt Ryan under contract, and they have said he's going to be their quarterback this year. And as I understand it, that is their plan. So if you take a young quarterback and sit him for a year, that doesn't usually work out unless you're the 2017 Chiefs. But I think with the way the Falcons are looking at it is they're not in a hurry to get rid of Matt Ryan and replace him this year, but they know they're going to have to at some point. And if there's a guy in the draft that's up this high in the draft and they have the opportunity to get him, they think he's going to be their franchise guy long term, they're willing to do it, because any team that's picking number four is of the hope and belief that it's not going to be picking that high in the draft again anytime soon. So the thought is, hey, if there's an opportunity to secure the future, we might do it, even if it's a year early as opposed to a year or two too late.
All right, so Swagoo, with Matt Ryan under contract for now, are you on board with the Falcons moving up and drafting a quarterback this early?
You do it right now. Wait till the draft. You do it right now. Because I don't want to see the Atlanta Falcons end up in the situation that the Pittsburgh Steelers are in, where you don't have a necessary grasp on who your quarterback will be moving towards the future. It's very few organizations that are fortunate enough to get it right, like Green Bay did after Brett Favre left with Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, Alex Smith was playing well in Kansas City, but Mahomes obviously took that to a next level. But you're afforded this opportunity, Atlanta, because you're picking four. So you have the capital or the potential to move up to number two. And the team that trades with you is not losing a lot of slots. But also, if you feel like, to Graz's last point, if you feel like that there's an identifiable guy that's going to take you into the future and you don't have to get rid of Julio or Calvin Ridley or Hayden Hurst and all of those guys you have as weapons, go ahead and do it, man. Don't wait.
This is the second time I'm doing television with Marcus Spears today. It's the second time I'm agreeing, and it makes me sick to my stomach. I had a different viewpoint of this until just now, because going into this, I was like, well, Atlanta's way better than people think. I know 4-12 last year, but, you know, 9 losses by 32 points. They had 5 losses by a field goal or less. Matt Ryan threw for 4,500 yards, 26 touchdowns. So I think Matt can still play at a really high level, and I think this team is better than kind of the record presented it to as last year. But then I think Marcus brings up a great point, and he referenced, well, Pittsburgh in their situation right now trying to find, you know, what's going to be next after Big Ben. And it makes me think of Kansas City, absolutely. It makes me think of Buffalo. They had Tyrod Taylor and took Josh Allen. It makes me think of Baltimore when they had Joe Flacco and took Lamar Jackson. Both those organizations are in really healthy places because they took the quarterback when they wanted to rather than they needed to. Mm. So I see both I see the aspect of Atlanta going, wait, we're better and we don't need a quarterback. But I can also understand them going, okay, maybe we don't need him for this year. But if we really like Zach Wilson, who's very intriguing, let's get him, because then we feel really good for the next 12 to 15 years.
Now, I know that people are going to get mad invoking this pick, but what you're talking about right now, Dan Orlovsky, reminds me of the Packers' thought process last year, why they took Jordan Love. They liked the player to take him, even though it was a first-round pick when you have Aaron Rodgers still under contract. Let's get back to Mel Kiper. Mel, it's always a draft driven by quarterbacks, but the theme of this year will be quarterbacks and wide receivers. So how do you stack up these wide receivers, and how soon do you – excuse me, I take that back, Mel. I'm going to ask about the wide receivers later, but tell me about the quarterbacks that are still in the top 10 that we have not accounted for after Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Phil, Justin Fields, you think about what he's capable of doing once he's in the NFL. We saw that in 2019. He had a spectacular year. This year, interrupted by COVID, not having Chris Olave against Northwestern, then the great game against Clemson where he outplayed Trevor Lawrence. Kid's got a ton of talent. He's going to run into 4-4s. I think this is a perfect pick for the 49ers. Move up, Kyle Shanahan. Go get Justin Fields and upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it would be a great move for that football team. Like I say, Fields, to me, is a guy right there with Zach Wilson. I actually have him on the ratings board slightly ahead of Zach Wilson as my number two quarterback. Mac Jones had a phenomenal year, over 77% completion percentage. Matt Rhule, Carolina is going to get a quarterback. Mac Jones was in Mobile at the Senior Bowl practices looking elite. Obviously, he doesn't have great mobility. We know that. He's not Joe Burrow with his legs, but his accuracy, his leadership, his competitiveness, and his intelligence makes him a top 10 pick. You got to believe New England could also be in the mix for Mac Jones with that Belichick-Saban connection there. Then we get to New England. Would they move up from 15, where a quarterback is not going to fall to them? They're going to have to be aggressive if they want one of these guys and move up maybe to get Trey Lance if they can't go get Mac Jones. And I think Trey Lance, only 20 years of age, really good in 2019, dual threat quarterback, only one start this year, unimpressive throwing, but brought him back and beat him with his legs against Central Arkansas. Talented kid. I thought if he played next year, he'd have been a number one pick overall candidate in the 2022 draft. Get him there by moving up for the Patriots, I think would be a good move.
Wow, would be very fascinating. That much is for sure. But Mel, you're not going anywhere because I was talking about the wide receivers a minute ago. I got a little bit ahead of myself. We are going to talk about the wide receivers in this year's draft.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm a physical receiver. You want to go out there and play angry.
Over the shoulder catch. Jamar Chase has it for a touchdown.
I just put in the work every day.
Devontae headed for the end zone. Jamar Chase fought the defender, took it away. A truly special performance by the Heisman Trophy winner.
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting ready for Sundays.
Mel Kiper Jr. is back as his NFL Mock Draft 2.0 is now live on ESPN.com. So, Mel, quarterbacks will grab the headlines every year, but this is also a top-heavy draft at wide receiver. Give us the first three guys off the board.
They're so close, Phil, and they're really good. It's like A.J. Green, Julio Jones, when you think about Devontae Smith, Alabama, and Jamar Chase, LSU, both great players in the SEC. Smith played this past season and was spectacular. Jamar Chase opted out, but was great with Joe Burrow in 2019. Devontae Smith, you talk about distribution of catches, slot, outside, equal, very versatile, tremendously competitive football player, great work ethic, natural pass receiving skills, route runner. He's got all that. Bigger isn't always better. This kid, I've called him Splendid Splinter, too. I really believe he can have a great pro career. Miami with Tua, reunited, makes sense. Jamar Chase, Philadelphia at 6. You're going to get Chase or Smith the way it looks. Both will look really good in an Eagle uniform with Chase, with Jalen Hurts. Physicality with Jamar Chase. As I said, when he was with Joe Burrow in 2019, he was uncoverable, really developed, and really became a consistent receiver week in and week out, improved dramatically over 2018. As I said, did not play this past season. That, in my mind, gave Smith a slight edge, but this is a dual situation, a dead heat coming down the draft stretch leading into April. Jalen Waddle would be right there, ankle injury October 24th on the kick return, but in space, he makes people miss. He's a tremendous punt returner as well. That cannot be underestimated in the evaluation process. If he's there at 11 for Daniel Jones, needing a consistent weapon, a real threat in that offense, he would be a great pick at 11 if he drops down that far. I think those three receivers all have big-time ability, future Pro Bowl opportunities ahead, I think, for all three of these guys, Phil.
Well, it feels like you can't go wrong, Mel, but let's get Swagoo and Orlovsky in here, as I know Swagoo does have a bone to pick about how those wide receivers went off the board. The floor is yours, Marcus Spears.
Mel, Jamar got to be first one off the board, man. He's the best wide receiver in the draft. And I know you just said it's neck and neck and they close, but I don't think it is. I don't see it how you see it, Mel. I look at Jamar with 20-something less catches, with only like 90-something less yards and three less touchdowns in a season where Devontae Smith won the Heisman based on his numbers and his ability. By no means am I saying Devontae shouldn't be in the conversation, 100%. But when I look at Jamar Chase and I look at the physicality and what he was able to do, remember, with Justin Jefferson lined up on the other side, so they shared the ball, and he was still able to put up crazy guarded numbers like that. I just think Jamar has more to give at the wide receiver spot, in the league than Devontae at right now at this point.
Yeah, I remember Keyshawn Johnson went number one. Key did, had a heck of a pro career. Marvin Harrison dropped down and built that same year. And I remember being with Marvin leading into that draft process, and I loved the business-like approach. And that's what I really love, Marcus, about Devontae Smith. I'm not saying Jamar Chase doesn't have that. Jamar Chase's physicality, as you mentioned, tremendous. Devontae Smith, same thing. Why can't they both be great? I think they will be. And I think Jaylen Waddle will have a heck of a pro career. A.J. Green, Julio Jones, really good. That was really close in the draft evaluation process. But I'm with you. I think Chase opting out, and you didn't have any contact with opt-outs. Teams weren't allowed to have any of that. What type of shape are they in? What did they do training-wise? We saw Devontae all year. I think that maybe gives him a slight edge, but I'm with you. I mean, I talked to some teams this week, Marcus, that have Jamar Chase as a top receiver. I went with familiarity with Tua and the fact that he played and played so well and was uncoverable even after Jaylen Waddle got hurt and he was the sole entity. That really impressed me. Nobody could shut him down. And this notion they had other great receivers. No, they had one great receiver this year after Waddle got hurt, and that was Devontae Smith.
All right, so Orlovsky, there's actually another pass catcher we haven't mentioned yet that you think maybe should be the first off the board. Who's that?
Kyle Pitts. From Florida. You know, Mel, listen, like, you can get a really good crab cake that's got that filler, right? Like, it's filled and filler crab, and you could get it fried up, but I need the jumbo lump crab cake, okay? I need to go to Jimmy's Famous.
That's all we have in Maryland, I need to get Dan. We don't have any filler in Maryland.
That's a difference maker. That's a difference maker, and that's what Kyle Pitts is. Like, I need... let's be honest here. Where are we in the NFL right now? Who's the biggest difference maker in the NFL? Travis Kelce. Who does Kyle Pitts remind me and everybody else of? Travis Kelce. This is the guy that you can move all around the football field. Keep him on the field, and how are you going to match up against him? He's a willing blocker. He'll put his face on people at times. He's not just a wide receiver, but he could play like one. You could put him out there like one. That is the most unstoppable duo in the NFL right now is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, because you can't match up against them. Outside of Jamar Chase, give me Kyle Pitts over all of them. I mean, I'm the jumbo lump, Mel, like with the big chunks of crab.
As I said, Dan, only in Maryland, the land of pleasant living down here in the Chesapeake Bay, you get nothing but jumbo lump, no filler. But you're preaching to the choir, Dan. I mean, Kyle Pitts is a great player. You're not telling me something that we haven't talked about all day, Dan. Oh, you got a guy going forward to the New York Jets in that trade down. He'd be great for Sam Darnold. I'm with you. He's not just a guy that can be an inline tight end. You can move him around, glorified wide receiver. I call him a receiving entity. But I think underrated is his blocking. He's got a guy who won't block. He will be able to be adequate as a blocker, and I think he goes top five. That's why I say there's method to the madness when you do these mocks. I wanted to get the Jets off of two down to four, so it was more as much about the Jets or more than what Atlanta was going to do. It was the Jets with Kyle Pitts, I think, would be a perfect fit. They got no production from tight end for Sam Darnold, and they would get a ton of production with a guy like Kyle Pitts. And everybody, Brandon Bean in Buffalo, talking about Kelce, everybody wants Kelce, and there's only one Kyle Pitts. There's no second tight end even close, but there's a lot of wide receivers that are going to be good second round, third round picks in this draft.
I tell you what, I am not that shaken up by the order of these wide receivers. I'm more shaken up by Dan's rare good food take on the show. We can talk about that maybe off camera afterwards. But Swagoo, you have somebody one told more
him.
Issue.
Somebody told him, Phil. Babyface Yates.
Quiet.
Somebody told him that.
Shut
up. He didn't come on that with his own. Yeah, he definitely, did not come up with that on his own.
That's right. Somebody suggested that one to Dan. But Swagoo, you got one more issue with this mock that you want to bring up with Mel. What is it?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the draft guru, Mel Kiper, did they only play 7-on-7 in college football this year? Was there any damn defense played? Does anybody warrant being in the top 15, top 10 on defense? Like, I know it was a bunch of opt-outs, but to that point, Mel, like, I want to fight with you about it because I'm a defensive guy, but I also want to get your perspective in a unique year when you see defensive guys that opted out that could have potentially been in that conversation. But where are the defenders on this board, Mel, that are cracking the top five and top 10 in this draft?
Well, they're going to crack the top 10, possibly. I think a corner like Patrick Surtain from Alabama, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, a guy I love, and we're not talking about him in the top 10, but he's going to be in the top 20, is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker from Notre Dame, really good player. Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, had he played, might have been in that top 5 to 10, but he drops now into the mid-first round after opting out. And those pass rushers you guys love, Unfortunately, Gregory Rousseau, Miami, didn't play. Jalen Phillips had the 1 year at Miami. Replacing Rousseau was really good. Durability concern there. So there's going to be something, some good pass rushers mid to late first round. And Jason Owe from Penn State, I put him there before anybody did. He's going to run a 4.3 and change at his workout, his pro day. He's 260 pounds. An enigma because we're talking about a pass rusher who didn't even have a sack this year, but he's got great potential. And when you project him into the NFL, Jason Owe from Penn State is going to make him make his way into the late first round.
All right. So do you need more Mel in
There's just no Marcus Spears in this year's draft. There's just no Marcus Spears in this year's draft.
They don't grow Marcus Spears on trees, Dan or Lopsy. But do you need more Mel Kiper Jr. in your life? The answer, of course, it's a rhetorical question. Of course you do. So go ahead and check out ESPN2 at the top of the hour as Mel, hosted by Susie Culber, will be joined by Todd McShay and Lewis Reddit to go through the entirety of his mock draft 2.0.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So just 12 days remain for NFL teams to apply a franchise or transition tag on a player, with no player more in the spotlight than Dak Prescott. The Cowboys quarterback would earn over $37 million if tagged for the second consecutive season. Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees are the only other QBs to play a season under the franchise tag, and Cousins is the only one ever to play on the tag in consecutive seasons. And remember, he joined the Vikings in free agency because the cost of a third-year tag from Washington would have been at an astronomical price. So Dan Orlovsky, I heard you this morning saying that you don't pay good quarterbacks great QB money. So how would you handle the Dak Prescott contract situation if you were the Cowboys?
I'd offer Dak a number that he's valued at, that his performance has been valued at. And as the Cowboys organization, I'd say, we like you, and we think that you're worthy of this. And that is going to allow us to build a football team around you that gives us the chance to win. Here's where I stand on this. I've been very outspoken. I ask you a question. Don't answer it right now. I want you to answer. If the Cowboys pay Dak Prescott the most amount of money annually at the quarterback list, $40 million or so a year, do you think that they are capable of being a good football team, like a championship contending football team? If you do, tell me why, because I do not think that they do. Number two, I think everyone, specifically the Cowboys, should be looking at Seattle and understanding that even though they have a quarterback that's better than Dak and one of the best three or four in the NFL, Russell Wilson, once you pay him the top dollar, it's really hard to win. It's really hard when they take up 20% unless you nail every draft pick. And last I'd ask both parts of this is, what do you want? What do you guys actually want? Do you want to sit there and say, well, we gave in. We gave the guy the money. You're not going to be good. And for Dak Prescott, I'd ask the same question. Is it that important for you to be the highest paid quarterback, knowing you won't be a good football team? Your guy's turn.
One, I have not heard Dak say he wants to be the highest paid quarterback. The second thing is he should be asking for whatever amount that he thinks is enough for Dak Prescott, because we're sitting here in the third year of this conversation, and I've heard you say you don't pay a good player, great player money. Well, how in the hell you know a player great before you pay him? Like, we see that all the time in the league. Your boy from Philly got paid. We thought he was going to be great. Didn't work out. Jared Goff led his team to a Super Bowl, i.e. led. Thought it was going to work out. Didn't turn out. Bro, this is unpredictable. You're trying to talk about a scenario where they can get it right 100%. Most organizations don't. Most guys don't play out the way their contract is set up to play. There are some numbers to support it, by the way. Like, you talking about $40 million, Dak getting $40 million. Well, a lot of it has to do with the market. A lot of it has to do with the way that the current NFL CBA is structured. A lot of it has to do with if the money is going to go up or down. And it's the Cowboys' responsibility to fill a team if they have to pay Dak the amount of money. They've had 4 years of low labor, and they ain't been able to build a champion. So what's the point?
And that's one of the reasons why they were somewhat successful.
He's been the brightest light on your team. Dan, Dak went 13-3 his first year in the league, bro.
Right. And Marcus, right, since so then, okay, the 4 years since then, they're 29-25. They averaged 23 points on offense, which is about average. They've been an average football team since then.
All right, look, Graz, let's get your perspective here.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead.
Marcus Spears is making a lot of sense. I don't know what Dan Orlovsky's doing, because it seems like Jerry Jones is scrambling his feet a little bit from Dallas. But Marcus is making a lot of sense. And I think when you make the point, Marcus, that they had him cheap, right? Like, quarterbacks are always either overpaid or underpaid. Like, there's no middle ground, right? You're either you've got him on his rookie contract and he's outperforming it, or you've overpaid him and you know, he's still performing at a high level. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz get traded this offseason, 2 off-seasons after they signed their contract extensions. Does that mean the Eagles and Rams made mistakes by signing those players? I think the Eagles and Rams would tell you no, that they misjudged the player but didn't misjudge the market. And what is your alternative? What happens if you don't sign Dak Prescott? You don't have anybody. So I think the Cowboys are in a position where they're gonna make the effort to get him signed. And for the second offseason in a row, we can say, based on our reporting and what we know, money really isn't actually the issue. The issue continues to be a disagreement over how long the contract will be. I don't think that they're fighting over a dollar figure. I think they understand where each side is on this, and that they're going to come down on the right number. But they have to get it figured out in terms of the years. Now, once you make a compromise on the year, does that make a compromise on a number necessary? Sure. But I don't think they're fighting over his value right now. It's more about how they want the deal structured.
I think the issue that I run in is the good player, great player money. Because if that's going to be the ideology in which we pay quarterbacks, very seldom will we talk about a quarterback resetting the market. Very rarely will we talk about, because most of these dudes going into their second deal are still learning how to play the position. They've shown you ability. They've shown you things that they can do, which you're projecting justification for their salary. You keep talking about this record. You and I sat in the room last year and talked about how terrible this defense was for the Cowboys. We talked about all of the issues. You know who else had a terrible offensive line in the 5 games they played? Dak Prescott. You know who was carrying that team and how they looked after he was injured? Dude, the answers are all over the place. That's why people in your mentions and DMs, I get it. I get it about Dak not getting 40. Dak ain't said he need 40. Dak said he wants to get paid what he feels like he earned.
No, y'all are. Y'all keep saying he needs 40. Don't go to last year, Marcus, because in the 5 games he started, he threw 4 touchdowns and had 4 turnovers in the half. So, like, don't give me that. Second of all, you guys are the ones that saying, oh, the franchise tag is 37. He's got to get more than that. I'm not saying pay Dak Prescott $20 million a year, Marcus. I'm with you. He has proven to be a good player, and he has proven to be valued at, I don't know, $34, $35 million a year, whatever it is. But so many of you guys be the highest paid guy in football when it comes to the quarterback position. They can't field a good team if they do that.
We should have did this the whole hour.
We really could do an entire Sports Center special on this. I'll offer this thought is, find me the last example of when a good quarterback took good quarterback money, because they always take great quarterback money. That's how the market works.
I am so mad at our producer, Mark Osman. We needed 30 minutes.
We'll give you guys a chance to cool your heads off a little bit.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so it's 2021. I find myself deciphering player tweets basically every single day, more so than I should care to admit. Today is Deshaun Watson, who tweeted, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it." That's a lyric from the 2016 song Never Forget by Future. So, Dan Graziano, what can you tell us about this tweet, or more specifically, what you're hearing out of Houston right now?
Yeah, what I heard today was that Deshaun Watson met with new Texans coach David Culley last Friday, believed to be the first time the two have spoken since Culley was hired. But the message that Watson delivered in that meeting was the same as has been consistently coming from his side of this all through the offseason, which is he has no intention of playing for the Texans. He wants to be traded, and that if Culley expects him to be on the team, he's going to be disappointed. So really not a lot of change in Deshaun Watson's position. He's dug in. He doesn't want to be there, and he's made it very, very clear to the team that he would like them to trade him. So far, the Texans are still telling teams that call that they don't want to do it. 2 months to go until the draft. Obviously, interested to see if that position softens.
I think the player makes it clear then he's not going to play for them, and it doesn't matter who the head coach is. You know, he's communicating. Oh, and that's why. You know, I've been adamant, like, he's never going to play in Houston again. This is not about football. This is about things outside of football. Houston, you have 2 months. You have 2 months to figure out the situation. Not how to fix the situation, how to figure out the situation, because you have to make the move before the draft. There's two teams that are in your conference that happen to play in the same division, that happen to both have multiple first-round picks this year, in this year's NFL draft, the Dolphins and the Jets. Use that. He's not going to play for you again. So at the end of the day, you can't be stubborn about this. You have to treat it as business. He's made it clear. He's communicated. Stop being stubborn. Treat it as business. Make the trade.
Yeah, I'm with you, D.O. It's simple for me, man. Listen, it's just like relationships. When my boys used to hit me up, I hit them up. The bottom line is, she don't want you no more. Bro, stop sending flowers. Stop calling. Stop telling her friends how much you miss her and all of that. She does not want you anymore. Move on. Time to go. Houston, take on that approach. Get all you can get in a trade package for Deshaun Watson. Us going up and down, back and forth about what the Houston Texans are doing, and they holding court and they don't want to move and don't budge. They not answering the phone. All of that is fine. Deshaun has done what I asked Russell Wilson to do. He said, "I'm done here. She don't want you anymore. Let it go. It's okay, Houston. Let it go."
Man, there's feelings.
Yeah,
there's feelings in
there's
that.
There's a graphics there's producer here at ESPN that just got a permanently built Houston, we have a problem graphic on the ready, because Houston does. And speaking of problems, let's get back to our lead story of the day. A quarterback who is seemingly frustrated, that's Seahawks' Russell Wilson taking the center stage. For more on this situation, we're joined by the great Adam Schefter. Schefty, what's the latest on Russell Wilson in Seattle?
Well, Phil, there's obviously some simmering tension going on between the two sides at this point in time. And while Russell Wilson would like to remain in Seattle, he does have a no-trade clause. And he has told the Seahawks that if you are going to trade me, here are the four teams that I'm open to being traded to. The Dallas Cowboys, the New Orleans Saints, the Chicago Bears, the Las Vegas Raiders. And so while he's not demanding a trade, he's leaving open the idea of a trade. And even that gets the mind going and gets the attention of executives across the league. And I can tell you that those teams should be figuring out what it would take to get a deal done for a future Hall of Fame quarterback to bring in there. The Saints don't really have a quarterback right now. The Bears don't have a quarterback right now. The Raiders have Derek Carr. The Dallas Cowboys have an unsigned Dak Prescott. So there's uncertainty all around. But Russell Wilson, not happy with the way he's been protected. He's on pace to be hit more than any other quarterback. Is not really thrilled with the way his voice has or has not been heard within the organization. And frankly, the Seahawks have looked around at other quarterbacks through the years too. So it's gone both ways. It just seems like neither side is willing to say, maybe we're better off moving on, because it's so hard to imagine a team moving on from Russell Wilson and him going somewhere else.
Well, Shefty, at one point you predicted potentially 18 new starters in 2021. Russell Wilson will be a fascinating wrinkle in that situation. Thanks for the insight as always. Actually, you know what? We'll keep you around, Shefty. We want to hang out for a few minutes. But let's start as we go back to the guys here for a second. Swagoo, I think you could make a case, pretty compelling one, that Russell Wilson has one of the five or seven best wide receiver duos. He was at one point this season the MVP frontrunner. What do you think his frustration is really about then?
Phil, that's the hard part. Obviously, he talked about the offensive line and the protection, which is an issue. We saw Andrew Luck retire because he took too many hits. We talked about Deshaun Watson in Houston previous to all of the Deshaun Watson news about how many sacks he took. And we all know this comes with a caveat. This is on them too as well. So that part, that's legitimate. I didn't like Russ saying that publicly because he has offensive linemen that I'm sure are trying to keep him clean. But it really boils down to what Shefty just said. Like, either side, say what you want to happen, right? Like Russ is obviously there's an issue there because of all of these things that's coming out. But what do you want to happen? Like, because if you want to remain in Seattle, talk about how you fixing these things as opposed to all of the potential teams and all of the other stuff that you've expressed. How will you fix it if you want to stay? If not, say I want to be traded.
Yeah, three things. Reminder that Russell Wilson's been really good for a long time, and this was the first year he got an MVP vote. So maybe there's a little bit of like, man, I play in Seattle, right? This is a legacy thing. Number two, tying to those cities. This isn't just about football, in my opinion. This is about brand building and what Russell Wilson wants to go do and become after that. That being said, what is the one thing that, or one of the things that always gets said about Aaron Rodgers? Great, one of the greatest, but why only one Super Bowl? And maybe Russell Wilson's sitting there going, you know what, because I'm playing for this head coach that wants to run the football and play great defense, I'm not going to be able to play the style I want. And I don't think that we are going to win another Super Bowl here. I don't want to be the guy in 5 years from now that people are having the same conversation about that they're having about Aaron Rodgers right now. That great and still only win. I think there's a lot of layers to this outside of I'm not getting protected well enough.
There are a lot of layers, and guess what? There are a lot of quarterbacks this offseason, and one leads into another. And again, this Russell Wilson story is complex. And Field, when we use that 18 number, it's aware that this could happen here, that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks were in that mix. And even if they don't get divorced now, it certainly seems that at some point in the future that they're headed that way. It may not be this offseason, it may be a year from now, but at some point it seems like these two sides are destined to go their own ways.
Yeah, it just feels like maybe we're all waiting for one domino to fall that could start a chain reaction, but it's just not entirely clear which that one domino would be that would actually kickstart all of the action. We're now just about 3 weeks away from the start of the new league year, so not only can the trades become official, but some other movement, including free agency, can pick things up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.